Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
What's up, Wada Hockey fans? You've heard us talk about DraftKings every week, and DraftKings is the leader in daily fantasy sports, and now payday can come every day by entering their contest with huge cash prizes up for grabs. Making a lineup on DraftKings adds excitement to every night and is simple to do. All you got to do is draft your lineup and feel the sweat like never before. Every moment means more with the DraftKings lineup on the line. DraftKings has paid out over $7 billion to users all across sports. DraftKings is the leader in fantasy sports, so there's no better place to get in on all the action. How do you do it? I'll tell you. Now that you know how to play, just set your lineup every night, download the DraftKings app, and sign up using code THPN. New users will get a free entry with their first deposit. That's code THPN. You'll hear it one more time. To get a free entry with your first deposit, only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. And as always, enjoy the show.
All right. Welcome back to another juicy episode of Wada Hockey, brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network and proudly supported by DraftKings. Sing it if you know it. As always, use promo code THPN on the DraftKings app to get in on all of the action today. And make sure to head over to our socials at Wada Hockey, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Like, share, show all your friends whether they like hockey or not. We're really entertaining with it or without it. That being said, Patrick, Jason, we're back. We don't have a guest this week because there is so much to talk about. But first, let's get into our weekends. Patrick, how was your weekend, my guy?
I had a pretty solid weekend. My wife was out of town on a girls' trip with her sister, so I took care of the dogs all weekend and pretty much did nothing. Actually, I take that back. I had a extremely busy Saturday. Had to drive out to Rowlett for golf in the morning, then drive home, feed the girls, drove out to Roy City for a wedding shower, drove back home, fed the girls, took them out. These are my dogs, by the way. I don't have children. And
this is news.
And then drove.
I don't know. I don't know if we're going to have enough time.
Drove back to my house and then all the way back out to Garland for a buddy's 30th birthday party. Man. It was a lot of driving. I burned through like half a tank of gas in one day.
Jeez.
And I don't drive like a truck or anything. So that's quite a few miles I put on my car. But it was fun.
That's awesome. A lot of fun. That's awesome. Jason, what did the weekend provide you?
Man, I had a little bit of work on Saturday morning. Had to man a grill for our youth advisory council. And then I had to go to a three-year-old birthday.
Well, to be honest,
a little bounce slide or well, a little bounce house was fun.
Before you got there, it was a two-year-old's birthday party. But then after you got there, then they turned.
This
three,
is true.
Right?
This is true. You're right. It was a two-year-old turning three. Yes, absolutely. That's how math works.
Yeah, that's exactly how it works.
That's exactly right.
Awesome. Well, I just got back from Colorado a couple of hours ago, had an insane weekend there. Speaking of the namesake, the Kermit tattoos, got a lot of compliments. I went to a water park and went down a water slide for the first time in my life, which is weird because I'm 34, even though I act like a 12-year-old. So that was a new sensation for me, going down a slide and having water, essentially violate me. But I had a great time.
Did you get the old whale tail?
Yeah, I came out like the one of that minion that kicks his shorts off in Despicable Me. Just had the crack hanging out. It was just a show for everybody involved. But Colorado was beautiful. Went on a hike, did some outdoor stuff, which is not in my nature unless it's cold. But it was cold.
Unless you're in nature.
Yeah, that's fair. But yeah, it was all in all, it was insane. And we usually do like a full readout plug with Texas Hockey Apparel. I'm just going to say texashockeyapparel.com. Check out their website right now because I know you guys saw it. They're releasing these sick, like retro t-shirts, like 80s vibrant white with their like secondary, I think it's their secondary logo or like their actual logo. I know you guys saw it, and I don't know about you guys, but I'm absolutely getting one. That shirt is so sick. It's okay. Like
pulling it up right meow.
It's just the funniest thing ever. Shirts, it's so cool.
Tanks, polos.
It might be a pre-order, but as we're talking about it, head over to texashockeyapparel.com. Hit their Instagram up, Texas Hockey Apparel. It is an all white with like almost like a red, bluish, pinkish design on it. It's so sick.
I'm in.
I will say it's probably one of my favorite things that they've done. Garrett absolutely knocked it out of the park with this one. But yeah, head over to texashockeyapparel.com.
Yeah, that's slick.
Yeah, check it
out.
You
have to get some of those summer skates too, man.
Yeah.
Those things are pretty badass.
I know. I don't know how many they have left. So it's something he's killing it right now. That being said, too, one more thing, little plug for us. Make sure to head to our Wada Hockey shop. We've got the snapback hats. We've got some tumblers. We've got a couple of the snapback hats left. So make sure to head over to our link tree and our shop and pick some of those up right away.
Speaking of that link tree, man, if you go there, there's that Conway and Banks link there, too. And you get 15% off.
It takes you right to the website, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's so sick.
But it's a Wada Hockey official website like for it. So it's that one, that particular link in there is specific to us. So anything like, you get on it is 15% off.
Oh, making awesome. It big time.
Yeah, moving on up. Conway and Banks, you've heard Jason talk about them quite often. Just the sickest bags in the game right now. I always say it, the foot pad is my favorite feature. But it's awesome. If you need a new hockey bag, if it's broken down and you're looking for another one, Conway and Banks has like three different color patterns, right, Jason?
Yeah, red, navy, and black.
Yeah, they're sick. Head over to Conway and Banks or head over to the Wada Hockey link tree, which we have linked in our bios. Click that, and then it'll take you to the Conway and Banks link, and then boom, 15% off your order, and that is a substantial amount. So make sure to check that out today. We've got some Americans news. I know I mentioned it a little bit, but before we get into it, Patrick, one more thing you wanted to mention, and then we'll jump into it because there's a ton of news to talk about today.
Yeah, since we're just powering through these sponsor ads, which we appreciate all you guys. Check out the range for your mobile golf needs. You don't have to go to a course. They got the setup. They got the TrackMan. They got the Smash Factor. Check them out at therange_golf and therangegolf.com. Really could have used that on Friday last week because I played 15 holes on Twilight and had not nearly enough daylight, even though we teed off at 4:30, which you can avoid with the range.
Yeah, the range,
they'll bring the range to you.
Bingo. The range, we are definitely going to be talking with them, and maybe we just need to have like a whole bonanza of like small businesses related to hockey and golf and swinging sticks.
We love small businesses.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
should we have
like a root beer social?
Yeah, absolutely. Something like that.
Yeah, like, but with, instead of root beer, just a beer social?
Yeah. I mean, a stinking root beer.
Yeah, speaking of, one last thing before we jump out and jump into the news. If you are listening and you do have a brewery or a distillery and you want to sponsor us, please get in touch with us at Wada Hockey, all socials, and we will make it happen. So, like I was saying, there is so much news. Obviously, right now, we are into the thick of it, and that is going to be in everyone's heads now. You're welcome.
Yeah.
But
I kind of hate you for that one, man.
Thank you. Yeah, that's fair. If you're on TikTok, you know. But it's literally like the thick of the off season because there are so many transactions like looming and happening. So many free agents, you know, rumored to be going certain places. Obviously, we are going to focus on the Texas namesake Dallas Stars. But before we do that, we do have just a couple of things to go over with the Allen Americans. Mostly Miles Liberati used to play for the Americans. This will be his fourth season. He has officially re-signed, or he officially signed again with the Americans. He is a former Canucks seventh overall draft pick. I would probably put him in the show right now. He was on the 1920 ECHL second team and second in points for all defensemen. So definitely going to be getting a couple more names here over the next few weeks pertaining to the Americans. They're busy right now. They had a lot of players go overseas, as we mentioned in the previous episode. So, but the bulk of this episode is going to be about the Dallas Stars. And guys, I don't know what to say right now. I mean, you know, let's dive right into it. First and foremost, Jamie Oleksiak was the selected player from the Dallas Stars. And then they immediately signed him to a 5-year, $23 million deal with a $4.6 million AAV. Before I give any opinions, Jason, I'm going to kick it off to you. How do you feel about losing Big Rig? Obviously a huge, no pun intended, because he's a big boy, loss. But how do you feel about the loss with that contract after the announcement?
The contract I'm not super upset about. You know, now it kind of just really frees up some room to maybe make some moves. But Big Rig, man, he helped us out so much back there. And going to be tough to replace. Obviously, like you said, size is a big thing. They just don't make them like they used to, if you will. So it's just, man, I'm just going to miss him. I was really, I mean, everybody was, oh, it's been Bishop. It's been Bishop. Or, you know, whatever. It's just, I'm sad. But, you know, absolutely, this is going to help a lot, though. Obviously, we could have gotten rid of a lot more with Bishop out the door. But got to take your punches where we can.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. It's a huge loss. Patrick, how do you feel about it? I know, you know, I don't know if you guys watched the expansion draft, but it was tough to watch. It was painful because that team is terrible. So, but Patrick, how do you feel about Oleksiak and that contract?
It's a tough loss. His size complemented Miro's speed really well. Mm-hmm. You don't have two primarily offensive defensemen, although I don't know that Miro could really qualify as an offensive defenseman because he kind of just does everything well. He's just all around good player. But Miro's only, I don't know off the top of my head, what, 6'1", 6'2", something like that? I mean, he's not small, but he's not 6'7".
Yeah, he's not the physical type of defenseman that Oleksiak is by any means.
So having Oleksiak there to kind of protect Miro from a little bully ball, if you will. Mm-hmm. Players taking shots at him. I think his presence there kind of dissuaded a lot of the opponents from really trying to go at Miro as much as they could. And I really hope we can find another similar large human being to pair with Miro, just because I don't want the additional wear and tear if somebody sees that he's available for shots and don't feel that there's going to be retribution heading their way from a freight, fucking, what's the word? Mack truck.
Yeah.
A big rig, if you will.
A big rig.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I was just reading this article, though, about Ryan Suter. Do you think he can be that guy? Because this is a name that's popping up now.
No, before we dive into that, I just want to say one thing that contract would not have come from the Stars. No way that they give him that type of money. He played phenomenally last season. Best offensive season for him. I believe it was 6 goals, which is a career high for him. He definitely played himself into that contract. Unfortunately, with the cap that the Stars have available, which sits at $5.8 million right now, you're not going to be able to afford him and additional pieces as you need them. Ryan Suter, huge name right now. To answer your question, he's not a physical defenseman. I think he can hold his own. I mean, he's an inch taller than Miro. He's 6'2". So, I mean, the size isn't really a thing there. He's 36. And
that's the big thing.
Yeah. And I made a comment earlier. If they're looking at what they want, apparently his camp wants to sign for a 4-year deal. I cannot stress to you how stupid that is. for $3 million at the cheapest. No, no.
$3 million per year.
I would feel comfortable with a 3-year deal, no more than 1.5 a year. But yeah, I'm going to kick it off to you guys. I don't think Suter would be a good fit here. Now, don't get me wrong. He's another offensive defenseman. He would probably slide into those bottom two lines, but no, he's not someone that I think that they should be actively pursuing as much as they are. But I do have a name for you guys once we talk about it.
There's just so much risk there that I think maybe a couple years would probably be the most that I could stomach. No offense to him. I mean, he's 36 and it's a physical game and there's already multiple guys on the team that are, I don't want to say injury prone, but have been injured for extended periods of time. And it just seems ill-advised to have somebody that's getting up there in age in a physical game and commit that type of money to him. I know there's workarounds if he were to get hurt, you know, with long-term injured reserve, things like that. But I think 2 years is probably the most that I would go for. And definitely a lot less than $3-3.5 million per year.
Yeah, I'm legit to the point where I'm like, he's veteran minimum material. I just pulled up his stats and I'm going through his last couple years. He's not a goal scorer. He's never scored more in double digits in his entire time in the NHL for as far as goals go. But that's fine. He's a defenseman. Not asking him to do that. He does have assists, but what concerns me is the drop off. Obviously, it was a shortened season last season. But in the past two seasons, and the previous, because the Wild, if I can remember correctly, did not make it into the bubble. I may be wrong. If I'm wrong, start your own podcast. but he went from 40 assists in the 2019-20 season, playing 69 games, nice, and 48 points. He had 8 goals.
Very nice.
To 56 games played in the shortened season, 3 goals, 16 assists, 19 points. That is a significant drop off. That is an alarming drop off. Even more so because the Wild were a decent team last season. They did go into the playoffs, got bumped in the first round. That's neither here nor there because none of us won outside of Tampa Bay, sad. But that is a concerning drop off when you're that age. So, yeah, I mean,
that's a 50% plus drop in production.
Yeah.
Doing the math right.
That being said, I pose the question. What's the contract you would feel most comfortable, Jason, giving Ryan Suter if you're the Stars GM?
Man, no more than three.
3 years?
No.
Or $3 million?
$3 million.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fair. I mean, I'll give my answer in a moment, but Patrick, what's your Jim Neal stance?
I'm going to stick with my 2 years and I'll probably also say $3 million. $1.5 million if he doesn't really pan out isn't too big of a hit. I know we're kind of everybody's in a bit of cap hell at the moment with the hard cap the way it is, but
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think $1.5 million per year is probably the max. And sure as fuck not $3 million per year.
Absolutely. No, I mean, it's not his fault he went to the quote-unquote state of hockey, but also where hockey goes to die. Oops.
Your star rookie. That's
yeah.
37 years old.
Book it. Patrick, I have to kind of lean towards your side. Like I said, I'm definitely more of the lower end. You know, with bonuses and everything... 1.5 with, you know, a $500,000 bonus incentive thrown in there. Get you that $2 million. You got to earn it. For me, if they sign any more than 2 years, you know, you've heard the term fleece being thrown around a lot. Suter would fleece the Stars.
Such an overused term, by the way.
It is, but it's been so much fun to use recently just because of all of the fleecings that have been happening.
I mean, it's great to troll people with, but yeah, a lot of trades and deals that are quote unquote fleecings. Is that the right word?
Yeah, I think so.
Fleecings?
Flosses?
Flossings? Maybe with the dance?
Ooh, maybe.
A lot of the fleecings, flosses, fleeces are not really that much so. They're more just kind of, I disagree with this, so this team got fleeced or whatever you want to call it. But mm-hmm. yeah, a lot of it's just the cost of doing business.
Yeah, you got hosed. We got hosed, Tommy. We got hosed.
In some cases, you could probably get fucked, but that I feel like that's a pretty rare occasion.
Right. No. That's no. Yeah, I completely agree. A la the Tyler Seguin, Louis Erickson trade. Boston got fucked on that one. okay, so yeah, Ryan Suter. It's a resounding no above 2 years, $3 million from Wada Hockey. You heard it here first. You'll only hear it here because there are no other podcasts called Wada Hockey.
Well, see, well, you can address the check to Wada Hockey, Jim Nil, for the advice. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Here all day.
WadaHockey@gmail.com on PayPal if you want.
We don't require a big office, just a couple of standing desks because we're active boys. We like to be standing
on the move. Yeah.
Speaking of the Kraken, before we jump into a little bit more star-centric news, what the fuck, my guys?
Dude, I don't understand.
I don't either. The only viable thing that I can come up with, and this is something I did a live stream with some friends over at the Cannons and Tomahawks podcast. Huge shout out to them for having me on and letting us spread the word of Wada Hockey. But and this was echoed. And yeah, absolutely. And it was echoed by Ryan Whitney from Spittin' Chicklets.
Ew.
I said it first for the record. They're building a team that is meant to be bad.
Of all the teams that they could build, that is one of them.
Yeah. Couldn't have said it better myself. But yeah.
I thought the whole point of it was to be good.
And they're the opposite of that. Mark Giordano is an aging defenseman. And that is essentially your biggest name. Outside, let's be real, friends, listeners, family, French fries. Outside of the Dallas market, Jamie Oleksiak is not a household name. He's a handsome devil. That was the biggest thing Twitter did, was absolutely had a meltdown over how cutesy pootsy he is with his perfect little hockey smile. But he's not exactly the most marketable guy. But yeah, they drafted extremely poorly. I don't know if you guys saw this. So they traded away another one of those players for a fourth round draft pick in the 2023 draft, I believe it was. But that's
really
even
playing the futures game there.
Yeah. So what I said and what Ryan Whitney echoed is
it's a marathon, man.
This is a marathon. This is a team that they're going to be halfway decent in 3 years from now because they're going to draft hopefully well for their sake and maybe make a couple of deals here and there.
Not off to a good start.
Yeah, really not off to a good start. But, you know, it is unfortunate, you know, to round it out that Jamie Oleksiak was the guy that was selected. But with that contract, it would have hurt more for him to sign elsewhere, knowing that we would have sent him an offer and he would have been like, I appreciate it, but I can make more elsewhere than losing him to the expansion draft. So
Steve is going to buy a Seattle Kraken Jamie Oleksiak jersey. She's decided that's her secondary team.
I can
get on board with that.
Realistically,
I'll probably buy it for her for her birthday or something.
That's smart. Home or away, because honestly, I'm not a big white away jersey guy, but those whites are crazy.
She likes the white more, I think. Last time we talked about it. I haven't seen them on sale yet.
No, they're still in the
works. Gotta wait for that roster to really finalize.
Yeah, right, yeah, fortify. I mean, they traded away.
Until Big Rig gets out of there.
Yeah, they traded away X-Star Tyler Pitlick the day after for a draft pick to the Calgary Flames. He'll be joining another X-Star, Richie. He was a popcorn fart if I've ever seen one. But then they traded away. They traded a defenseman away to Colorado today. So that's one less person they have on their roster now. So yeah, it'll be really interesting to see what happens.
Can I make one point that I think is being overlooked about the draft process in general?
I would absolutely love to hear this.
So let me clarify. I watched the whole draft. I was relatively unspoiled just through sheer willpower of staying off Twitter for the day because I kind of wanted to watch it, see what the production was like. One, I thought the production was pretty fun from a Seattle bit perspective. And they did the whole fish throwing. I think an octopus made a draft round pick at some point. Who else? Marshawn Lynch didn't even try and pronounce.
I think he was just there so he doesn't get fined.
Exactly. He called like him Boy Boy.
Yep. He didn't even try on Callie Yarncroke's last name, which I respect. I respect that. If hockey names are hard,
if you
can't do it, just say, fuck it, I can't do it.
Yeah. Don't forget, they also really, really did Sean Kemp dirty.
Bro.
Oh, there was like a mix-up, apparently. Did you read? Because I can't remember who it was that got his jersey or his shirt. They basically put the wrong shirt like in front of them,
and they grabbed
the wrong one.
Yeah. I made that comment because it looked as if like Gary Payton's was a little bit bigger, but it also looked like, oh, that's fitting. It looks like it fits him. Oh man, if you guys that are listening have not seen this, go look up Gary Payton, Sean Kemp, Seattle Kraken draft, and then poor Sean Kemp.
Dude,
he's just been vegging, and you know it's obvious that he is a basketball icon, but doesn't have to be in shape anymore. And boy, does it show!
Well, when your shirt is 2.5 sizes too small, it definitely shows.
That guy wears at least a 3XL, and they gave him a schmedium at best.
Yeah, I could probably fit that shirt somewhat decently.
Yeah, absolutely. What else, Patrick? I feel like you're borderline on a sassy synopsis here, and I want to poke the bear a little bit. Tell us a little bit more about the draft and why it didn't sit well with you.
Okay, let me pose a hypothetical for you.
Here we go.
When you watch, let's stay topical, the NBA draft is coming up. Outside of Cade Cunningham going first, this is not a basketball podcast, who's getting picked 5 through 15 officially?
I don't know.
Yeah, you don't know. And that's the magic of a draft. Nobody knows what's happening until trades are made and picks are delivered to the league commissioner. Right. But what the fuck are we doing here? The Kraken, the entire roster outside of Detroit somehow, was leaked by like
Frank,
one Eastern.
Big boy Frank.
Yeah.
I think Frank Savarelli is the guy.
Right out of 8 Mile.
I'm not hating on Frank Savarelli because he's doing his job as a reporter to release information as it's provided to him and verified. That's fine. But the fact that we could have the entire draft spoiled before the production even happens because everybody and their dog is giving away who Seattle's going to take is absolutely ridiculous. If I had not made a concerted effort to stay off of Twitter, to stay off of hockey Twitter for the day, and stay off of Reddit for the day, there's no point to even watch. The whole drama over the past 8 months, over the last season, who's Seattle going to take? Who's getting protected? What sort of cap manipulations and no move clauses are in play and all of this speculation, and it doesn't even make it to the day of the draft before all of that's out the window and any level of speculation fun is just ruined. It's ruined.
Ruined. I'm gonna build off your sassy synopsis a little bit, because not only did the draft have all of the air sucked out of it, ESPN, this was their first big hockey presentation since signing that big deal with the NHL, and they absolutely fucking whiffed it. First off, I get you're a sports network. I get there are other teams and markets, but have the common fucking decency to tell us the right team and the right league that's playing the right sport. The Carolina Panthers don't play hockey. They never have.
That's the 33rd team in the NHL now.
Yeah, I guess we were duped, and there's another expansion draft coming. Also, and I know
Carolina
that
can market two teams.
Yeah.
They're going to park it out there.
Their social media team is second to none. They absolutely took over. The Carolina Panthers social media team caught on as well, and they both basically switched their profiles to match each other. It was absolutely hilarious watching it happen live. It was the best part of the draft for me. Also, I get that Disney is your evil overlord at ESPN, but that doesn't mean the team is the Anaheim Mighty Ducks. They haven't been for years. They're only the Mighty Ducks in fictitious worlds now. I just watched the second one, which in my opinion is probably the best one. Whatever, don't at me. But it pissed me off because they absolutely – and then this is also on the NHL. So to echo off, Patrick, what you were saying, the NHL required the Kraken to turn in their rosters at 10 p.m., I'm assuming Western Standard Time or something along those lines.
Pacific Standard Time.
Pacific Standard. I don't know time zones. I haven't been over there. Don't at me once again. We've already assessed that I don't do geography for shit. But that being said, you gave Big Boy Bad Daddy Frank an opportunity to come in and leak all of those things with his connections because he had all day. You didn't make it a surprise. The lottery is literally picking ping pong balls out of a fucking plastic blow container because everyone likes to see the what if. And that's why that's so much fun as an NHL fan. And they just absolutely ruined their first opportunity to really make a stand. The ESPN brand and the NHL brand. Whew.
Yeah, instead of adding Fink, why don't you add ESPN for that shit show?
Yeah, please and thank you.
Well, first time doing this ass.
It doesn't
bode
well.
Sorry, Patrick. I took off a little bit.
Hey, Jesse synopsis is for everyone. It's fine.
Doesn't end there.
On the pro side, no Pierre.
Yeah, no Pierre. About that? I will take that. I'm just going to chalk this up to a oopsie daisy by ESPN. They've got plenty of time to fix things. But rough start though. Real rough start.
I mean, on the plus side, it can only get better, right?
Right.
If you start at the bottom.
Right. And now we're here.
We'll get there eventually. We're not here yet, but we'll get there. Eventually, we'll be here.
We're always going to be here.
We're working our way up. We're almost here. You know.
We're trying our best. So, yeah, there's really nowhere to go but up. The ESPN, just please be better. I know you can for us, for hockey, for everyone. I will say one more thing, too, before we jump into this next topic. Could you not get Buchagross and Linda Cohn, people that actively are like hockey fans and know the game and know the player pronunciations well and thing? Oh, and know the team names. That's just a comment. Speaking of drafts, we had the expansion draft. We also had the draft, the entry draft. The Stars basically had a very shallow prospect pool. You know, not to take away from who's in the prospect pool. You've got guys like Maverick Bjork, our boy Riley Tufte's, chomping at the bit. Thomas Harley, which I think will probably be on the starting roster for opening night. We selected 10 guys, which is the first time in the 7-round era that the Stars have selected in the double digits. It's the most that we've selected since 2004. I'm just going to go through the names real quick because this is something that I think we'll all have to do a bunch of research on, but it's nothing but what looks like extremely fast, physical, talented skaters. Wyatt Johnson, which again, the past two seasons, they have drafted absolutely phenomenally as far as the names go. Maverick Bjork and Wyatt Johnston. Those are just like peak Texas Dallas like names. So Wyatt Johnston with the 23rd overall pick, which was traded from the 15th pick to the 23rd with the Detroit Red Wings, who acquired the first goaltender in the first round. Logan Stankoven, great name, phenomenal name, with the 47th pick overall. Artem Grushnikov, Artin Martineau, Justin Ertl, Connor Roulette, Jack Barr, Jacob Holmes, Francesco Arcuri, and Albert Silberg. Like I said, all from just really scratching the surface from what I've seen from all of the quote-unquote draft experts and hockey websites. I'm seeing a resounding two thumbs up, B plus to A draft for the Dallas Stars. It sounds like the prospect pool is full again, knee deep. We are back in business, hopefully with a slew of guys coming up in 2 to 3 seasons, if not sooner. But yeah, I don't know if you guys got to catch any of the draft. I was traveling, so it was really tough for me to stay in the know, which was a bummer. But that being said, I don't know if you guys have anything on this, other than the fact that it looks promising for the team moving forward.
The first thing I thought of was that Wyatt Johnson's parents' reaction to him being drafted was so wholesome. Like, his dad was more excited than he was.
Oh, his dad was so pumped.
Like, he's so hyped. And you know, for the parents, like, it's a, not that they live vicariously, but like, you're super proud of your kid, that all the work that they've been doing over the past probably 14 years since they were little baby kids.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Leading up to that. Like,
you that's
got to
be playing
mites
and going through the ranks and everything.
Yep.
And like, slowly starting to realize, like, oh, maybe you have something here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just the time and money and travel invested in all that to see it really pay off. Like, that's got to be so awesome. And you could really see it in his dad's face that he was like, he's just happy for his kid.
Rightfully so. I mean, it's a family thing. It's a family sacrifice. The time, the money, the tears, the effort that goes into being a hockey parent. There's just, your butt cheeks have to clench a little bit if your sweet baby child angel is like, I want to play hockey. And then you look up the amount of money it costs to get them enrolled in classes and the equipment, and then realize I'm going to have to do this shit like multiple times if they continue to play the sport.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jason, speaking of, are we pushing the kiddo towards hockey when the time comes? Are we going to see if he handles a stick and he's going to be like, yo, I'm down for this. Let's do it.
Man, if it's anything like when we try to play floor hockey at home, probably not. He's going to end up in the box just constantly for roughing calls where he's just getting slashing calls all the time because all he wants to do is just hit me in the head with the stick. So,
I mean, respect.
We're getting there. We're getting there.
Yeah, I mean, the parent reaction was absolutely adorable. Yeah, I mean, like I said, we haven't done a lot of research on this. There are a ton of names. Jason, do you have anything on these kids? Anything that you want to add before we jump into something a little bit more on the sad side?
I got nothing, man. I got nothing to contribute for this one.
It's okay.
People get paid big money to do draft analysis, and we are not in that group, I'm sorry to say.
Nope, that's fine. Just stellar names all around. I'll be doing some more research, maybe hit some knowledge bombs here and there on a couple of upcoming episodes. This was the sad point in the show. If you did watch the expansion draft, you'll see that. If you did watch the expansion draft, obviously Jamie Oleksiak was the pick from the Dallas Stars. Everyone thought it was going to be Jason Dickinson. Unfortunately, to a degree, Jason Dickinson was in fact traded to the Vancouver Canucks for a 3rd overall pick. The reason I say that it's okay is because, like, it was common knowledge. Jason Dickinson was a target for the Kraken, and you essentially lose him for something rather than nothing. Yeah, so Jason Dickinson, great run. He's going to get his face hit all the time. It's just going to be north of the border now. You know,
Canadian healthcare is better than here, though.
Yeah, at least they'll apologize for it.
Yeah, they'll apologize for it. The healthcare is better, but the bar is not very high. And this is kind of a personal note because I am a self-proclaimed Roussel fanboy. I was super excited because I was like, oh, Dickinson's going to get to play with Roussel. That is false because the Vancouver Canucks are making all types of moves, made a huge trade with the Arizona Coyotes, who are just dumping cap space with Connor Garland and Erickson Ek going up to Vancouver. For another former star, Louis Erickson, Antoine Roussel, and an additional player who I cannot and will not be named now. But yeah, so Roussel is on the move again. He's on the final year of his contract, and I'm just going to throw it in the atmosphere. If Roussel comes back to the Stars, I will weep on air.
You can get a blackout jersey.
Yeah. I would love to get a Kuchina, a Roussel Kuchina jersey. Sue me. But this also means that Roussel Canucks jerseys might go on sale and fine by me.
I got Porzingis New York Knicks shirt at Madison Square Garden for $15.
There you go. Ooh, that's a steal. That's a steal. But some good news, some great news. The free Honka experiment is fucking done. It's over. That is the only player that the Stars did not offer qualifying offers to from the restricted free agent pool. They did, however, offer qualifying offers to Nick Camano, Joseph Cicchoni, Ben Gleason, Yoel Efin, Yoel fucking Kiviranta, Adam Mascherin, who was another guy that the Kraken were kind of stirring the pot on, Colton Point, and Jared Roseberg. They will all be negotiating their contracts. And that's something that I think people have to remember too, is yes, the Stars do have that cap space again at just over $5.8 million. But you've got to re-sign all of these guys now. Who's to say that those guys do re-sign? The one that really sticks out to me on that list is JFK and Adam Mascherin. Those are two guys that I think you absolutely need back. So it'll be interesting to see how much money is allotted to those guys.
Can I make one point about Julius Honka?
And yes,
this is
do.
This is a big feels bad for the Stars, but Honka was drafted in 2014.
Oh, and I know where you're going with this one. Give me the goods.
I saw a stat that, and my numbers may be a bit off, but from the entirety of the 2014 draft, there was 87 games played, and I want to say like 21 points total contributed by all players in that draft class for the Stars, and all of them were Julius Honka. And he's not even on the team or any team, really.
Nope. He is an free agent.
That is an incredible failure of a draft.
Yeah, it's a little scary. but yeah, that was bad. Like, 2 goals, 11 assists between 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 9 draft picks. Honka was the only one that touched the NHL, had a cup of coffee. Tyler Johnson, this is something that obviously people are going to see and know before, but I feel like just because we're live right now, we're recording for Thursday, Tyler Johnson from the Lightning has been traded to the Chicago Blackhawks for defenseman Brent Seabrook and a 2023 second round pick. I'm sorry, the Lightning traded Johnson and the 2023 second round pick to the Blackhawks for Brent Seabrook. This is just a wild offseason all around because of the cap.
Lots of manipulation going on here.
A ton of manipulation. Yes. Before we get into these last couple things,
I wonder if Stamkos is going to go on IR, long-term IR again until week before the playoffs.
He looked like he was limping in the championship parade.
he's going to pull a Derek Holland and have a freak accident trying to make a skating rink in his backyard.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
You'll never get that by us. Which one day I'd like to have him on the show, and I'd love to confront him about that because that's a fantastic story. Real quick before we jump into these last couple topics, because I feel like this is just a – this isn't just a – yeah, we're a Texas-centric hockey podcast, but Marc-Andre Fleury today was traded to the Chicago Blackhawks for – at the time, we thought nothing, but turns out it was for like an ECHL caliber player.
Big yikes.
There are conflicting reports from both camps. Marc-Andre Fleury's camp, he said, I found out through Twitter. Fucking burn. Vegas camp saying, no, we've been talking to him like for quite a while, a couple weeks about it, letting him know that we were kicking the tires on it. It was a possibility. Guys, what are your thoughts? Because this now means that Marc-Andre Fleury is in our division and we will have to play him quite often. If he doesn't just say, you know what? I'm done. I'm not doing this. I'm not starting over at 36. I'm retiring. Jason, initial reaction on the trade and predictions on what you think that Marc-Andre Fleury will do or if he will end up somewhere else somehow.
Man, I'm really under the impression he's just gonna hang up the skates or hang up the pads, man. It's you kind of get gotta understand you run your course a little bit. Not that he wasn't a great goalie in Vegas at all, but it's just it was kind of like embarrassing to hear it, and like I know personally I'd be a little pissed off. But
absolutely.
Especially finding out through Twitter. That's got to be absolute shit to hear. Like,
yet you find out reason Vegas is the woat.
Yeah. But no, either he's going to hang him up or he's going to pull, what is it? Aaron Rodgers is basically doing right now, like kind of holding out. Mm-hmm. And then just, look, either you're going to come to my demands or I'm done this season. He's just, or could just like shit the bed, you know, like let in like 3 or 4 goals a game, like in the first.
Force their hand.
Exactly. That's what I would do. No, I want to do some shit like that, but why not? Fuck it.
Yeah.
What else are you going to do? Retire?
You've not built up a reputation as a starting goalie in the NHL. So
mm-hmm.
He can do probably whatever the fuck he wants. Yeah. And maybe some team out there is desperate enough. Maybe they don't have a backup.
When he retires, I mean, technically you just hop back on free agency.
Yeah, because retirement gets you out of your current contract, doesn't it?
I believe so.
I think so. Maybe. I'd have to look into that. I will say this much. He could essentially just not show up to camp.
Mm-hmm.
Also an option.
He could just not show up to camp. He could hold out and say basically, hey, I'm not going to play unless you trade me to a team that I want to play for. I'm in control. You guys, I was not consulted with on this, but you know, it was handled extremely poorly. But I will say it is so delightful. So delightful for people to hate Vegas, because that fan base, I've seen some pretty negative shit come out on Twitter about Robin Leonard already being your go-to guy, basically saying, why did you trade our better goalie? I don't want Robin Leonard. Robin Leonard has struggled with mental health issues. He's very candid about it. He actually posted something about it today. The guy is extremely transparent, very respectable, extremely respectful. And just to see this fan base kind of turn a little bit and expose what pieces of shit they can be, and seeing how stupid the front office acted towards this, it just makes me a little happy. Because Vegas has done nothing but have success since they've come into the league. It's no secret. Everyone knows it. So to see them kind of squirm a little bit.
Suffer like the rest of us.
Yeah, you gotta love it. Gotta love it.
And what, 4 years in the league and 4 playoff appearances? Out of the first round? Like, must be fucking nice. And
Seattle's just going to be wishing for that. They're like, oh man, if only we could have expansion drafted just a little better.
Yeah.
Seattle might have a good shot at the second pick next year, too.
Yeah. True.
Building up.
Speaking of, have you guys seen the Coyotes next year?
Negative.
Their draft class. Give me 1 second to pull this up, because they have got... They've got their first round pick, and this is 2022. And then they've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 second round picks.
Jesus.
And then the seasons after, they have 1 first round pick, 1 first round pick. They have 2 third round picks in 2023. And then they have 2 additional second round picks in 2024. These guys have finagled their way into possibly being a very good team
and super young.
Yeah. And like 4 or 5
what
years.
What is that? 6 picks in the first 50 picks, if you will. Yeah. 60 picks.
Yep. That's unbelievable.
Pulling an Oklahoma City Thunder, just amassing draft picks as much as possible.
Right.
Yeah. And I'm just going to throw this out there. 2024, like a lot of these kids will be jumping up into the bigs, and that's when Austin Matthews' contract ends, and he is from Arizona. I would absolutely love to
is
see.
He really?
Are you already starting rumors?
I thought he was from Canada for some reason.
Mm-mm. He just plays in the saddest market in Canada. but yeah, so I'm putting in the call that Austin Matthews and Arizona flirt quite a bit, and they make a big
push. I'm coming home.
But yeah, so. That was the big news today. Like I said, we're recording on Tuesday, that you guys will hear this on Thursday, but I'm sure it's going to have a lot of reverb throughout the week and throughout the league. So definitely something to stay on top of. A couple more things before we wrap this one up. Miro Heiskanen, what a steal of a contract. What an absolute steal. We talked about bridges. We talked about a bridge contract, and he said, I think this is pretty good. So, yeah, initial reaction to this amazing contract, which, by the way, the details are, I believe it was eight years at 8.45 AAV. So, yeah. And he's 22 years old.
Less
so.
Than Seth Jones, who's currently worse than the potential trade target mm-hmm. that was being floated around.
Facts.
Man, Miro could have requested putting his name on the outside of the AAC, and if they hadn't given it to him, I would have been upset. Whatever he wanted was going to be totally fine with me.
Right, he's a statue next to Dirk.
Yeah. Like, you don't just trade away a 22-year-old that's already in talks for the Norris Trophy, and he's been in the league 2-3 years, I think. It seems like longer than that, but he really hasn't been around that long. But whatever he wanted was totally fine. Eight million, 9 million, 10 million, whatever. Doesn't matter. He's gonna anchor your defensive rotations. He's gonna play on the PK, he's gonna play on the power play, he's gonna be out there, fingers crossed, bones in the first three in overtimes. Because he's quick, he's skilled with the puck, he knows how to create offense when he's down there in the opposing team's defensive zone. And yeah, whatever, I can't stress it enough. Whatever he wanted, just give it to him. Just blank check, here you go.
Yeah, it's a steal. I mean, it sounds crazy.
It really is. Like, you don't think, when you hear $8 million in hockey, you think, fuck, that's a lot of money. But this is one of those rare cases where you hear $8 million for 8 years, and you're like, wow, that's it? Like, you probably could have got a lot more, especially, and good on Jim Neal and the front office for signing him before Seth Jones in that ridiculous contract, setting the bar at $9.5 million per year.
Yeah, and you look at the Cal Makar contract. Cal Makar, I will say, is probably the only young defenseman that I will say is above Miro Heiskanen.
Yeah.
Cal Makar is just a phenomenal skater. He deserved the, I think it was a $9 million, or $9 million for like 6 years or something like that. But great move by Jim Neal to shore up a pillar of your organization, not only for this current Stanley Cup window, but possibly an off year and back into the window opening with a new young, core, like Denis Gerionov, Roope Hintz, names like that. And possibly, God forbid the Stars make some moves on young free agents as opposed to fucking, senior living free agents. But that being said,
geriatric ones.
Yeah. That being said, the Stars have also been rumored to be in talks with the possibility of Ryan Getzlaff. Fucking no. And Dougie Hamilton. And that's the name that I was going to bring up earlier. I would rather have Dougie Hamilton than Suter, personally. I don't know what kind of money Hamilton is going to garner, but I would rather have him for a veteran minimum contract, but whatever. Great job on the Stars.
I would only take Dougie Hamilton under the condition that he stops going by Dougie because he's a fucking grown man.
Nope. I want Dougie. Wait, would you prefer Douglas?
Douglas Hamilton has an air of
importance.
What's the right word? An air of
elegance,
monarchy, royalty, a little bit.
No, I like that. I like that. I think we're onto something. So we need to sign him just so we can change his name to Douglas.
Can we rewind just a little bit?
We can do whatever we want.
Sure. You pumped the brakes so hard it gets off. Why? I mean,
no. I'm just literally, the three guys that they're going after right now are aging players. Getzlaff doesn't do anything for me. Maybe in 2014.
So, I mean, we were just talking about needing size. I mean, he's 6'4". He's huge. He's massive. I mean, it'd be great if he could come in and kind of, I mean, obviously, like, he won't play D or anything like that, but I mean, maybe, I don't know, shit, no. He could be a utility guy at that point. No, but I guess what I'm going for is, like, we hated Corey Perry until he came here. I hated Pabs until he came here. It's just one of those things where we'll hate Getzlaf until he's here, and then he's your guy. I mean, he can add a little bit of leadership. Well, yes, some of us didn't. I know it was very big in Stars community to hate him just because he was that guy, you know, for San Jose.
Corey Perry's totally understandable, though. Mm-hmm. Everybody hates Corey Perry until he's on your team. And then you look into those steel blue eyes and you just can't help but fall in love.
I mean, like,
you might as well just go back and get Perry then. Which I hate to burst
your
bubble.
With a good time.
Yeah. I hate to burst your bubble, but apparently the Lightning are trying to make something work with Corey Perry. So I hate
fucking
to tell
kill
you,
me.
Yeah, because if you get Fat Maroon and Corey Perry on the same line, I quit.
It's not even fair.
Yeah. I will say too, I'm seeing this just now. It's one of those things where we're talking about this on a Tuesday and it comes out on Thursday. But Andrew Cogliano, that's another restricted free agent, or unrestricted free agent. I apologize. It sounds like the Sharks are the front runners to possibly sign him to a contract, which is a no harm, no foul. The Sharks are probably one of the least offensive teams in the league for us because
we did take Pavelski from him, so.
We did. I would love to get a Sharks Pavelski jersey. I'll put that out in the atmosphere. But yeah, the Ryan Getzlaf thing for me, he only had 17 points last year. He didn't even play the full season. He hasn't played a full season since 2011-2012. He's an aging man that has injury issues. And so for me, that's a big concern, and I don't know. He just doesn't seem like the guy that would come in and really spark this team. But hey, veteran minimums, baby. Like, if you're gonna spend money, spend it wisely. So, you know, hey, if you can get Douglas Hamilton and Ryan Getzlaf at both extremely low costs, then by all means, like,
no
go
harm,
for
no
it.
Foul there, yeah.
No harm, no foul.
But you got to fill a roster spot anyways.
That's true. So. But yeah, that's all I have for that. The schedules did come out, and I don't know, anything stick out to you guys other than the fact that opening night's on a Friday, and it's going to be an absolute shit show party that we're going to lead into the weekend with.
That's hell convenient timing.
It's very convenient timing.
Fridays are good for live shows.
Interesting. Live
show. Well, the home opener, I think we should be there. But that being said, there are a couple of games leading up to the home opener. So, you know, who knows? Who knows? Like, maybe Northside Draft House, we reach out to the homies there and get another live show. Well, you know, season opener is a different story.
So, one, I agree. We'll have to make some phone calls, do a little business. Business Tuesday. But I think the primary thing, and this is just a quick note before we get to the Razorism of the week, which will be a quick one. Only 10 back-to-backs over an 8-month schedule, when I'm pretty sure we had like 37 back-to-backs, hyperbole, of course, last year.
Yeah.
We had, I think, probably 7 or 8 straight weeks of 4 games in 6 days. So I think we should see some market improvement just on the fact that they can actually practice. Like, ideally, if you're a professional team, you don't use your games as practice, but I think that was kind of the case a little bit last year, where they just had no time to do anything and be in any sort of good condition for games without just having dead legs. And we saw it all year, mm-hmm. where the first will start out fine, and then the second and third, it's just no energy. Which is not a knock on them at all. That schedule was a complete travesty and just blatant mishandling of your personnel by the NHL. Not the Stars, because they worked with what they had. Mm-hmm. But the fact that the NHL even allowed that to happen instead of just saying, fuck it, we'll just push the season back a little bit.
Yeah.
Which would have made no real difference in the grand scheme of things. The fact that they allowed something that you can't even do in a video game to happen is just insane. So I'm excited to see what this team can do in its current iteration with practice under their belt, with time to figure out offensive schemes and what works, and
be able to,
you know,
rest.
God willing, a power play approach.
Yeah, and
outside
just be able
of pass
to rest.
It around for a minute and a half and get like two shots off.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. It was very funny to see because it looked so spread out.
You know, it's like, God, we have 3 days between this game and the next game. Like, what are we going to do?
Get a little spoiled.
And we also do have the break in February where the players will possibly be going to the Winter Olympics, which I am all for. I am 100% behind that. So, but yeah, schedules are out. Free agency is on the horizon.
Mark opening weekend on your calendar.
Mark opening weekend. Mark the season opener and the hope opener. Because hopefully we will be doing something for both. But yeah, I mean, that's all I've got, guys. I mean, it's just a wild time right now. The off season is the busiest time for us, it seems like, already, you know, just having done this just under a year now. And it's a blast. So, but yeah, if you guys don't have anything else, we'll jump into the Razorism of the Week, and then we'll call this a rapidy rap rap.
Man,
let's get it.
I was going to say, I have two things about the schedule. One, really excited that we're getting the Avs for New Year's Eve at home here. And nice. Then number two, markdown Seattle for January 12th for their first time coming to the American Airlines Center. So I'm really excited about that. We'll probably be at the first of many, hopefully.
You said January 12th?
Yeah, January 12th.
Okay.
At the American Airlines Center.
Maybe I'll have Steve's Alexiak jersey in by then, and she'll end up wearing that.
There you go.
Maybe.
Well, that's all we've got for now. Let's hit that Razorism, and then we'll call this one a wrap.
Real quick one this week.
Juan Goligoski and Skinner, and then like poop through a diarrhea infected goose. Ben goes through everyone.
You don't even. It's the shortest one that we've done. But
you don't need any context for that one.
You need absolutely zero context. Well, that is a wrap for this week's edition of Wada
peak
Hockey.
Razorism.
The peak Razorism. We will keep tagging him in every single post we make because we need him. We need him on the show. We need him back.
Come on the show.
One day, man.
I'm your biggest fan.
Just throw us a bone here.
Yeah, be like the grandpapa of the show. Or papa, just the regular papa. I don't want to call you old.
Or Selena, if you want to
help.
Yeah, right.
Also, Razor, we have an OU connection here. Your daughter goes to OU. I graduated from OU. We can talk about that. We can talk a little SEC.
She's a
realignment.
She's a volleyball player, yeah? Or softball.
Track and field, I think.
0-2. It was a good try, though.
Yeah, I think it's either high jump or pole vault, one of the two.
All right. But she's a student athlete.
But if you have some hot sports opinions on OU to the SEC, come on, let's talk about it.
Yeah, let's talk about it. Well, I mean, there's only one thing left to do, and that's just to tell the people, you know, how to spend the rest of their week.
Yeah, while we're talking SEC realignment, we can stay sassy.
Ooh. Ooh. Stay moist, boys and girls.
God, hey, everybody. Everybody stay moist. And last but certainly not least, no matter what elevation you are at, do not for any reason whatsoever forget your Kermit tattoos.